Cancer patients from around the country are appealing to all of us to maintain social distancing so they can continue their treatment in as safe an environment as possible. The Irish Cancer Society has produced a video called My Life Matters, featuring cancer patients and survivors who typically will have a compromised immune system because of the disease and their treatment. On the line is Avril Power, CEO of the Cancer Society, and cancer patient and campaigner Vicky Phelan. A very good morning to you both, and thank you for talking to us this morning. Vicky, perhaps I can come first to you, and maybe you might give us a sense of how this pandemic has affected you as a cancer patient, your social interactions and your treatment. How have things changed?
Quite drastically, actually, Brian. I suppose I've been self-isolating from a very early stage. I made the decision around the 4th of March, I think now, going back when we had, I think, maybe two cases or something at that stage, to kind of stop all social interactions, because I actually had a very busy few weeks coming up with the International Women's Day. I had a lot of events on, actually, from the 4th of March onwards, and that would have involved me, you know, attending functions where there were maybe, you know, upwards of 150 people. And my oncologist actually contacted me, because he's on Twitter as well, Professor John Crown, and he noticed that I had a lot coming up. And in fairness to him, he recommended that I pull out at that stage, even when we had very small numbers, because he could see that this was going to escalate. So, you know, for me at the beginning, I think, you know, some of my friends thought I was crazy, that I was, you know, starting at such an early stage. But I'm glad now I did, you know, for myself and for other people, Brian, because, you know, whatever about me, yes, obviously, you know, I'm trying to keep myself alive here, and that has been my aim for the past 2 years. I want to make sure that I don't infect other people either. So I'm very glad that I kind of took that decision fairly early on.
So you've been cocooning then from the early part of the month, but you're due to travel, I think, to Dublin next week. Is that right, for treatment? And you've presumably been thinking about how you can stay safe and protect yourself on that journey and in the hospital.
Exactly. So I contacted Professor Crown about treatment to see what the measures were in place for me to, you know, so that I knew in advance how to prepare myself. So, you know, all of the patients in Vincent's Hospital have been moved, all the cancer patients, over to the private hospital, because the public hospital obviously is a COVID-19 hospital. So that's where I'll be having my treatment next Wednesday. Normally I take public transport, Brian, but next week I'm not going to do that, obviously, because I can't take that risk. So I'm going to drive up. I hope to God I'll be able to get parking. You know, you never know. It's usually a very busy hospital, but you know, I have to be prepared. And even simple things, like it's a 2.5 hour journey for me to drive from Limerick. You know, normally I would actually have to stop and go to the toilet on the way. These are very, you know, very detailed things I have to think about. But like even something like that, I'm kind of thinking, I don't know if I can do that, because it's, again, it's taking a risk, you know, stopping off at a petrol station, having to sanitize, going in, going out, you know, the toilets, all of that. So, you know, it's all these things that you have to take into consideration.
Which you wouldn't normally give any thought to.
I wouldn't even think about it.
It's part of normal life, yeah. Avril, Avril, if I can bring you in here, how is the pandemic changing how cancer patients are being treated and how they're approaching their situation?
Well, I think many, first, Brian, like Vicky, have been cocooning for weeks, pretty much since you started to get community spread of this virus in Ireland, to protect themselves. Cancer patients, particularly those on active treatment, are particularly vulnerable to catching viruses like coronavirus. So many have been staying at home, limiting their interactions and doing their best to protect themselves. In today's video, they're also calling on everyone else to do the same, because I think it's important that every single one of us sees ourselves as part of the front line against this virus, that we all have to do everything we can to control it in the community, to protect cancer patients and also those who are other groups that are particularly vulnerable. In terms of the impact on treatment, I mean, there's been a number of things. We've already had some treatment has been postponed. As I said, active treatment does have an impact on your immune system. It makes you more vulnerable. So doctors in each individual case have had to weigh up the risks of somebody being more susceptible to the virus as a result of the treatment. You know, the risks also of travelling to treatment and potentially picking up the virus against the benefits of going ahead with the treatment at this time. So many patients have already had treatment postponed. We've been reassured, and I spoke to the Minister again about this yesterday, that that's only happening in cases where the treatment is not urgent and where the individual benefits in the individual case, the benefit of postponing is better than the risk that it may affect long-term outcomes. So, but it, in every case that is distressing, patients are worried about not being able to go ahead with treatment that they would have expected to be doing a month ago.
Vicky, we're all, I suppose, anxious about a situation that might arrive if our hospital system becomes overwhelmed by the number of people presenting with coronavirus, and the doctors may have to make that dreadful decision who to treat. Is that something that's of particular concern to cancer patients?
Oh, God, yeah. I think that was the first thing that came to my mind, to be honest. Ever before, I read about the cases in Italy where doctors did have to make that decision. And I suppose for me, Brian, I mean, I'm delighted to still be here 2 years later, to be honest, you know, considering, you know, I wasn't given that amount of time at the very beginning. So I've kind of made my peace with that. And I would hope that if a doctor had to make that decision and was presented with, you know, two patients, me and another person who was, you know, around the same age and who had a better chance of survival, and I know this sounds very harsh, but that's my, I suppose I've had to get my head around that. I would hope that the doctor would make the decision to save the person who would have least complications and better chance of survival. But that's something that I suppose I've had to get my head around quite a long time ago, and I don't think it's fair that our doctors are going to be put in that position. But, you know, I suppose I'd be having that conversation myself, maybe to make it easier on somebody if I got to that point. But that's exactly why I've been isolating myself, Brian, since such an early stage, because I don't want to put the doctors in that position.
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing to say, Vicky. Really, quite extraordinary conclusion to have come to. Just finally, Avril, that also raises the issue, I think, for many cancer patients, particularly perhaps at an advanced stage in their disease, about concern that if they're in an end of life situation, who will be there with them? Will they be alone? Will they be able to have those they love around them?
I think that's already become challenging. I mean, we've seen reports already of, you know, of funerals going ahead where family, friends and family members can't be present. In terms of people who are terminally ill, we are still providing our night nursing service. That's a free service where our nurses go in and care for patients who are terminally ill in their own homes. We're thankfully still able to run that in a way where we can protect the nurses and where there's proper social distancing within the family. But it is challenging. Mm-hmm. It is putting families in awful situations, not to be able to spend as much time as they would have liked with their broader family and friends in their final days. And I think that's why, you know, as Vicky said, it's so important that all of us does everything we possibly can to contain the spread, because, you know, thankfully, our government acted a lot faster than the Italians and some other countries in terms of putting in place restrictions. Hopefully, that means that we'll never face the kind of scenarios that we have there. Mm-hmm. But it's really in all of our power. That's not something that's up to Leo Varadkar or Simon Harris or anybody else. That's up to all of us to step up, control this virus, stay home, protect the vulnerable in our community, and make sure that we can avoid the worst so that people with cancer continue to get urgent treatment, and that as soon as possible they can come out of cocooning, be around their family and friends again, and resume their treatment as normal.
That's what we all want. Avril, thank you very much indeed. That's Avril Power from the Irish Cancer Society and Vicky Phelan speaking to us there. All the best to you in your continuing treatment, Vicky, and thanks for talking to us this morning. And just to say that the Irish Cancer Society operates its nurse line on free phone. If you'd like to give them a call, it's 1-800 200 700. That's the Irish Cancer Society nurse line, free phone, 1-800 200 700.